Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's Mike Shope.
How many years would it take to drive back and forth to Montana, hauling back in a pickup truck pieces of Crazy Mouse?
And the Bulldog.
This is me. Hi, I'm Chris. Because I'm a maniac. I'm irresponsible. And I'm bad with money. And, you know, I drink too much sometimes. So I don't make good decisions.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
See, none of that about sports. That's our charm right there. That is our, or yours. That is the charm
that's
of this show.
That's the genius, really.
That is the genius. The preternatural ability of one of us. Well, it is Friday at 5, and we have talked a lot of football today and all week. It's things that are happening in the league like any other season, and then it's also, like with everything else, adjustments and what might be before the league. I just read the AP article from the doctor, about the doctor, Dr. Sills, from the league, and one of his quotes is, the first in the AP article is, "We are not doing this in isolation." I don't think he means that they wouldn't take all the players somewhere and everybody else that needs to be a part of NFL games and have a season at some point. Most of his comments are about how it's too soon to be able to determine that yet. So be it. You know, he also says here in this AP article that he's been on the phone and his staff have been on the phone talking with trainers and coaches and front office people, and a lot of their conversations are about mental health. And isn't that part of everybody's battle here? It's the stress of the disruptions. It's perhaps losing your job. It's perhaps losing family members. I mean, I am not the only person who knows someone right now whose relative is very sick and he can't see them. Mm-hmm. And that is just especially traumatizing and sad. There's all the other sort of next level stresses from this. You know, we've got, like many other people, we've got kids home all the time. And there are challenges with that. And there are just challenges everywhere you look. So one thing that we have said here on this show in the 3 weeks since most of us started, you know, making these changes and Bulldog went home to do the show and everything, is that that's part of what we can do as a service here, is like talk about what we face and also maybe be helpful by doing that. And then, you know, give our ideas on what you're facing if we happen to hear from other people who are listening, and just sort of be kind of a community in that way. We're not Zoom. We don't have our faces in boxes for you and then random other people crashing and walking through the set. We have had that once or twice on remotes, but we do not have that right now.
Right.
But we are here talking, and we might sound the same as ever doing that, right? Because you're in your car or in your home or wherever, and you can hear us just the same. It's just, it's important, I think, and I think everybody we work for would say this about us and everybody else who does this. You are, like, you want to be relatable, and you want to just really be open, and I think we've always been willing to do that, or tried.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I feel like that is, you know, I'm not listening. I'm here doing this. You know, I'm listening as we do it. I hope we're providing enough of that, an appropriate amount of that. I mean, you're never going to please everyone, you know. I know Howard and Jer at one point this week, Howard had a very tough morning one day off of a very tough night, which has also happened to me more than once since I've been just here and not coming into work. And I just happened to see Howard tweet about that, And, you know, of course, most of it was understanding and compassionate and relatable. But there was, and I don't entirely disrespect this. I don't want to hear you complain about how sad you are. I'm coming to you to be picked up. You know, I want to feel better when I turn you on. And if you're bumming me out, I'm gone. And I understand that. Like, I feel like that's our role to an extent. But there is also the other side of that is if you sound completely unaffected by the reality of what's happening around you, that just isn't realistic, you know? So we've always tried to be real on this show and honest. And that, I hope, is what is mostly coming through. I feel like for me right now, I think a lot, like, Mike, honestly, I mean, I think a lot about you and your wife with kids the age of your kids and other friends of mine who have younger children, even if they're just people that I mostly, they mostly exist in Facebook world to me. But I hear and see them describing what it is like to try to fill the day. Like, Sal has been on with us every day. And he has a six-year-old son who wants to just do stuff and doesn't have the outlet of, you know, school sapping any of that energy. And, like, I'm going a long ways here to just say I can remember days, lots of them, when our boys were, you know, 8 and 6, say, where getting to the point where someone – it often wasn't my wife. It was me taking them somewhere or someone coming here to watch them so I could go to work. And, like, reaching 1 o'clock in the afternoon was, like, the hardest thing ever. Like, just, oh, my God. When? Okay, great. Here's some goldfish. Here's some mac and cheese. Here's color. Yeah, we'll do. And you just,
here's
one thing
Bob.
After the right, and you're trying also to get ready for your work day, and you're trying to do whatever you're, you know, normally doing. And I can remember days where, you know, I tried not to let this affect us and the show, but, like, I would, like, walk out the door, get in my truck to come to work, and just be like, oh, God, I made it. Like, it's just like I'm just completely shot. And now my day is really starting. Like, the important professional part of my day, anyway, is starting. Not that taking care of your kids isn't important, but it's just,
no. But it's different. It's different for many men. For most men, like for us, more men. I'm just sitting here with a study in front of me. But isn't it, like, sort of more common that, like, men are sort of, they identify through work? And
yes.
I was exactly the same way. The kids part was the hard part for me, and I guess still is, but it's much easier now.
Yeah.
And coming to work was like, yes. And
right.
And that's partly because of the nature of these jobs. But yeah, I mean, I we've talked about that a lot at home. Like, that's not something I'm proud of. I just think it's sort of a observation.
Yeah. So I feel very much like, I don't know how I would be dealing with this if it happened 10 years earlier. Let's say, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think a lot about people with younger kids, even kids younger than your kids, say, that are still really requiring lots of attention almost all the time. You know, how do you juggle that? Like, how can you possibly work from home and get anything done? Whereas, like, you know, now, you know, whatever, I come up here and, like, that's it. And I don't have to worry that one of them is going to turn a burner on the stove and leave it or something, you know, like that.
I still worry about that.
Well, thank you. But so I guess I'm going a long ways of saying, like, look, I have my moments. I'm worried about my wife and the role that she has at the hospital. And anyone who is in that same boat, I'm, you know, I'm thinking of all of you when I think about that. But, you know, when you peel that all back, at some point you're left with, like, the person who means the most to you in the whole world and you love is, you know, probably to some extent, not to be overly dramatic, in danger. And therefore, everyone in the house is, to some extent, in danger. And, like, that can get pretty deep for me, you know, so I try to, that's, you know, that's why, a lot of what the you know, the guitar stuff or whatever is, I'm trying to distract people that follow me on Twitter and give them something to laugh at or have fun with or whatever. But it's also important for me to be doing something other than just sitting around thinking about all that stuff I just said, you know? So it keeps me occupied, because really dwelling on all that isn't going to change what's going to happen tonight or tomorrow or next week.
Well, that is the bottom line.
Yeah. I think all that's going to come no matter what. Whatever's coming's coming. And I'm doing everything I can. And, like, so I might as well, here, I'm going to play a Social Distortion song now. And, like, that gives me a few minutes of peace. And, you know, that's all I can really look for.
That is the bottom line for individuals with their mental health. That is the bottom line. Prepare, follow the rules, but then after that, try to get off of it. Try to get off of the forecast. I've been saying a lot here and on Fridays last couple weeks, like, get off social media for the weekend if you can. And, like, that has been great for me. And that is totally my plan as of 7 tonight. Like, I'm just not going to be on there tonight, because what you see is often, this is how bad it is, or it's worse. I read one tweet this morning, and it was exactly how I was thinking, but it was perfectly put. It was like, we're all on here saying how it's actually, the reality is, you know, the situation is bad, but the reality is even worse, almost to the point where we're like trying to convince each other of it. And, you know, all of that really just does you no good. It is about doing your best, focusing. This situation, to your point about when you talked about kids at home and such, what an opportunity you have, we all have, in that situation right now, to teach and learn and teach and grow. And, like, the kids, like, this is what we, this is the kind of thing we talk about not getting to do, because right. Our lives require us, our jobs require other things from us. This is the thing, when we get older, we say we wish we could have done more with our time, is kids, right? Like, everybody tells you, they grow up so fast.
Yeah.
Well, yes, they're growing up at the same rate of speed as they were with you there every day. And it's cool. It's got to be looked at like that. It's got to be looked at as an opportunity. Exercising is another one of these things, and I have not gotten off my butt yet in almost a month. Like, I just haven't. But, wow, think of how good you would feel. And I don't know why I don't do it myself. I just have not started. The discipline is lacking. But I think about how good would it feel if we go 2 or 3 months without seeing anybody. Like, your truck is still parked where it's been parked for 8 days. And it's still just me and Joe here. And, like, you know, that would be a good result for me, because I want to keep working like we all do. So if 3 months from now, there's a day, or longer, there's a day where we're all back together. And, like, wow, you lost weight. Look at you. Right. Look at you.
Right.
And we can be outside in the sunshine and like, real work, things like that, that there is time now for, and we're sort of forced into. Like, you know, that would be great. Yeah. At this point, I'm still ordering beer deliveries. So that has not started for me.
Right.
And I still work afternoons. Like, there's no excuse. But I do like this idea that you should be able to do these things that make you feel better.
Yeah.
And so it's there. It's there. If we are stuck by the situation, and, you know, there's important stuff, and I'm just trying to say the one thing and not be funny. It's just, there are opportunities within this. My daughter, so I think she likes school just okay. My son loves school. And anytime he's given an assignment, he tells you, like, I'm on it. You know, he just can't wait to do it. Can't wait to read all the books, everything. He's voracious like that. She is different. She is more like, do I have to go? Mm-hmm. So I've been trying to think of ways to sort of give her school that, you know, is not really like the school that she dislikes. A lot of it, you know, a lot of it for these kids is the social part that maybe causes them anxiety. It's other kids, you know? But yep. for her, like, it's both. It's sometimes that, but it's also, like, the work. So when my kids were playing Legos the other day and it was time to start the schoolwork, I'm like, you know what? Let's just let them keep going. And I'll figure out a way to make the Legos the schoolwork. So we did an art project out of it. And, you know, just try to draw what you've built and write a story on the situation. And they did. And it was like being in school, but it was fun for them. And they did that together. I also had, so we have lots of birds, you know, and it's spring. So we have lots of birds. And I sit in a certain chair in my house and we see, you know, nature come and go. And it's birds. I'm like, Garnet, here's what we're going to do. You got the whole week. This actually, the end of this will surprise is a thing that surprised me about her. I said, you've got the whole week. Every time you see a different bird, write it down. I want to know what it's called, what it sounds like, and if it's bigger than a baseball. So she, you know, what surprised me was she immediately started doing that. And like now it's a school project, but we're not, you don't call it that. You know, it's just like a thing where they're learning something. I have a friend in Colorado and every, you know, school's off everywhere. And he was telling me today about how he's teaching his daughter plumbing. Think of all the things you didn't learn. This is also for me because I was just like always in the books. Think of all the things you didn't learn because school was, quote, in the way. Now it's not in the way. And so if you're somebody who has kids and your trade, what your expertise is in is something where you're home and, you know, it's bad. Maybe you teach, maybe that's school, you know, maybe learning how to fix things, if that's what you're good at, that's not me, is something, you know, you can do. So I'm all about trying to, you know, share ideas and hear others and, you know, do what we can here in this conversation to help make it work.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, I think a lot of that, I mean, a lot of just sound, the turning the Legos into work, quote unquote work, the bird thing, like to me, that's a great job. What frame of reference, like how does she know, do you have a field guide or she got something online that can help her identify birds or is she just describing them?
It's everything. And she got us too. So like I see a bird and I yell bird. And so she comes into the room and like right there, what is that? And she's at the age where her spelling is hilarious. So like dove is D-U-V-F.
Yeah,
like it's just awesome. But you know, she's got columns, right? Bigger than baseball. Is it fluffy? You know, all these things.
Yeah. All right.
And we have a bald eagle. Like we've got bald eagles around.
Oh man, that's awesome.
We were walking on last weekend, and there was a bald eagle. So, you know, like that's on her list. Bald eagle.
Man, the 10 times that I've seen an eagle at the cottage, and we don't have them here in North Buffalo. I feel like I remember each and every one of those times.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like just like this is incredible. This is rare. This is really cool. And so like, I just think that's a really cool thing that you've got those around on the parkway there.
Yeah. Let's take a call. Here is John with us. Hi, John.
Hey, first of all, thanks a lot for doing these shows every day, guys. It's really entertaining and insightful.
Thank you.
I work in sports television, and one of the things I've been able to do is actually see what I've worked on at night, whether it be Sabres games, Sunday Night Football. This weekend I would have been in Atlanta covering the Final Four and just watching those games that I've worked on in the past as a actual fan or viewer is enlightening for me. And I just think that, you know, along with everybody else's profession, you know, you can just take a look at things that that maybe you've worked on or maybe you contribute to and just take some enjoyment in that. And that can take up people's time as well.
Yeah, cool. So like some of the biggest sporting events we know of, you were there and didn't ever watch them on TV.
Yeah, I mean, because when you're there, you know, you're concentrating on a certain player or certain schemes or what have you. And you know, there's Sabres games even where I don't even know the final score until the horn goes off, because you're concentrating on certain aspects of the game, and same thing with football or basketball, what have you, and just being able to sit at home at night, you know, watching some of these games play back, it's just thrilling. I was in the Zamboni end doing handheld when Dave Hannon scored the goal against the Devils.
Oh wow.
That's
and
awesome.
I remember doing that game, and it's just like, oh, my God. And the rest of the Sabres TV crew, we were texting each other the whole night as that was going on. you know, I was at the Kentucky Derby when Drury scored with 7 seconds left, and I was watching that game in a bar in Kentucky. And that's one of the games I was not able to work because I had another assignment. And so I'm screaming at the television. I hadn't, you know, seen the game before. And there was a Twitter question this morning, or maybe it was yesterday. If you could see an event again over that you haven't, that you know you, you know, the event that was played out, that you could watch again without knowing the outcome, what would it be? And, you know, mine was, I didn't work this game, but mine was Super Bowl 25, and my response was, so I could go through hell all over again. you know, it's certain things like that. You know, the comeback game when the Bills were playing the Oilers, very few people know that we lost all communication in the TV truck that day for the first half. And so everybody was just doing their job without any instructions from the director or producer. And so the TD in the truck was just cutting cameras. So we, when a situation like that happens, you know, you just play as if you are live all the time. Mm-hmm. You know, there's certain events and certain games that, you know, the behind-the-scenes stuff has been so interesting. And if that kind of information could get out someday, you know, the viewers at home would even appreciate it even more so.
Yeah, that's really cool. Thank you, John. Nice to know all that. I'm sure there are a lot of great stories. Feel free to say them so we can know. But no, that's good. I never knew the thing about the TV truck or anything like that. Nice. Good idea. I'll tell you what. I'll tell you what an old sports thing is that I'd say is like right at the top of the list for watching back when we come back. You can always do Bills games, Sabres games. We're having a lot of fun with the 05-06 Sabres. My wife and I watched some of this game last night. We both agreed. We said it to each other. This is the most fun we've had watching the Sabres in a long time. She's like, that's a little sad, isn't it? Like, it's very sad, but it's true. We agreed. We got into that game against the Leafs. Jason Allison. That was not in black and white. Jason Allison.
I know, right? I completely forgot he existed.
Yeah, he's pre-lockout for me, but there he was.
Yeah, right. I remember him as a Bruin. I did not remember him as a Leaf at all.
Mm-hmm. Kings for me. Okay. All right, sports next. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR.
Air tried to clear it in front of the net. The Air's got it again. In behind the net of Finneganoff. Of Finneganoff. To the goal crease, they score!
That's the winning goal from tonight's MSG playback. It's Ottawa again, at home, obviously, again. I don't know if I remember this game. Do you guys?
I don't really know. I read about it today a little bit, and it sounded to me like a game I want to watch, but I don't remember the game. I would say the same thing about the Toronto game last night. Like, I read about it, and I thought, like, I'm going to want to watch that. And I did, but I didn't really remember it. Even, like, the Greer goal last night, I didn't remember that happening. And that's a pretty memorable goal for a guy like Mike Greer.
Do you guys know the date? Was it, like, beginning of March, last night's game?
I think last night's game, I'm pretty sure was late February, March?
I'm thinking, like, March 1.
They showed the standings, and the Sabres and the Senators were in the 90s point-wise. So it had to be pretty late. Like, I've got it right here. Well, it says, what do I got here? Thursday, April 2nd. No, I don't have the date. Sorry. I thought I had it, but I
didn't. Yeah, I have tonight's April 5th, but I don't have the Leaf game.
Yeah.
What are you guys looking at?
A story from our website that just highlighted the games that were going to be played this week, and the date of last night's game, actual date it was played, is not there.
I'll find it. There was a game, I think, against Toronto on a Friday night in early March that year, that was the night they honored Pat LaFontaine, and I was not at the game. I was in Florida, but I thought it might have been the game last night, and I'm thinking if it were, they probably didn't show anything about Pat LaFontaine, but that might have been a different game. That's why I'm asking. Okay, let's see. I want to know now. So Buffalo over Toronto, 3-1, March 16th. That was not the night. They also beat them on March 3rd. That would have been the night, I think. I mentioned before old sports that are great to watch back. Like if you like every sport like I do, like most of us do, the Masters are great to watch back. YouTube has a bunch of them, if not all of them, for however many years. They are great to watch back. They look amazing. They sound great. I mean, they're just awesome. And, you know, you might know who wins, but you're probably not going to know very much of what you see. Like, it's just right. Sort of relaxing. The Masters are kind of relaxing, too. So that's a recommendation. County Executive Poland Cars, this came up on his Twitter yesterday. Brian brought it up. And I'm like, the old Masters are really great to watch. And I've seen a couple of them that go back like 50 years. So there's my advice.
I definitely would not remember. I mean, there's probably a few that I would. But I think I could sit down. In fact, I think I said very early in all this, maybe so 2 weekends ago or maybe even 3 weekends ago. I know on a Sunday there had been hockey content on NBC, and then at 3 o'clock, it was supposed to be the Players, right? So how many weeks ago was that? Was that 2 or 3 weeks ago now? Doesn't matter, whatever the time frame.
One or two.
It's all a blur to everybody anyways. I know it wasn't last weekend. Anyways, they had someone from their golf coverage on on NBC standing there, introducing what they were playing instead of the Players, and it was going to be this, and this is Tiger's first win or something coming back or whatever it was. And I just thought, you shouldn't have told me. You just told me what this was. It was really my fault. I mean, if I joined it 5 minutes later, I might have just sat there and gone, okay, golf. I don't know who wins. I'm just going to sit here and do this. But if you tell me at the outset what the result is, I'm probably going to bail out. So a lot of golf would qualify for me. Any of the majors, really. You know, there's certain ones that I think I might remember, but a lot of that would be fresh to me. Even though I watched them all, I think it would still work for me as a replay.
86 is number one on my list. That's Nicklaus. And there's just so many twists and turns in that final round, too. It's like barely, if you know it as Nicklaus's sixth green jacket, and that's it, you sit down to watch that, and you might go after a while. At what point do they even mention him? Like, he's not in the lead at all until, like, toward the end. So he's not even really relevant at the beginning of that broadcast. And it's other, like, great stars of the game, Seve and Greg Norman. Greg Norman might need a par on 18 to force a playoff or something, and like he was kind of blowing it at that early stage. I don't really mean anything. I like Greg Norman, but that's part of his legacy as a player.
Sure.
So you can I recommend the Masters. It sounds good. That's another big thing with me. Let's talk to Brian here next. Hi, Brian.
Hey guys. So I listened to Brandon Bean's press conference. I just had a couple of reactions. One positive was I did like his thinking on Stefan Diggs. Colin Cowherd had a cool stat earlier in the week where if you look at the last five drafts, 2015 onward, excluding the great 2014 draft, none of the first-round picks on the outside of Amari Cooper have really turned into a number one pick. And you pair that with his explanation of trying to move up and get a few more spots up, it does make sense that those late rounders just kind of become the move-up factor. And at that, you're getting the third best receiver, Cosell.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Today said that he loves Jerry Jeudy by a long shot over everybody else in this draft. Two things that were kind of head-scratching to me was one was Yeldon. I understand he says he has faith, and that's great, but he didn't play down the stretch, and he even acknowledged that, yeah, he could have been a better ball catcher and a better playmaker, but we wanted the downhill thumping of Frank Gore. That felt a little bit of shades of the past of ground and pound and Dick Duran and that sort of stuff. Can you guys get a playmaker on the field? It became very apparent that halfway through the year last year that Gore was out of gas. His best work was all in the beginning of the year. And then he faded down the stretch. So I didn't really love that. And then the one question I wish the reporters would have asked is just make a run at it. You don't even – not that it has to – you know, that I'm expecting the Bills to do it or that I even want them to. But make a run at Clowney. If the price is going down, I wish somebody would have asked, hey, defensive end, Trent Murphy hasn't been an all-star for you. We understand that Jerry Hughes is getting older. You just signed Addison, who's on the older side. And really, you have Michael Johnson and some rotational pieces. Man, one more good move up front, and you could have a really good front seven. Maybe Clowney, if he would take a one-year type of deal, you know, at least ask that question. I would have liked somebody to push him a little bit on that.
All right, thanks, Brian. I don't have any problem with that. It remains to be seen what he'll get. The last I heard on Clowney was that he was willing to take less than he was thought to be asking. So we'll see how that goes. He should not, I guess, if this is meaningful. We've talked about Cam Newton, for example, as somebody, well, coronavirus, and can they get in the building and learn and do this? I mean, I wouldn't think for a defensive player it would be close to the same kind of thing.
No, me either. And that's a player that has always intrigued me. I mean, we spent a lot of last summer, I feel like, talking about him, or at least I feel like I did. Maybe you were away while I was really hot on Clowney, like buy low, you know, because, you know, you can't do the contract with him, so you're probably going to be able to get him cheap, and that would be a really cool thing to add to your team. Obviously, it's a different circumstance now. You don't have to trade for him. You just got to pay him. And I think despite not putting up big sack numbers, that's still a player that can be some level of difference maker for you on defense. So with cap room, and if the price gets right, I have no idea what that means. Like, what is the right price? You know, $10 million, $12 million? Like, if it gets down there, I mean, or even really big, because I've got cap room, but for short term. You know? So, $30 million for 2 years. Like, if that gets me Jadeveon Clowney, and I'm free and clear after 2 years... I don't know. I might think that's a pretty smart buy.
Well, I don't disagree. Maybe. We'll take a break. Fantasy Friday. Don't worry.
I can knock off.
You want to take lunch? I've only chiseled out a couple of minutes, but I do have one fantasy-related topic. Look, fantasy is a nice – all this talk about diversions and whatnot – fantasy football drafts are happening. Dynasty drafts are happening. Not just Dynasty at websites. I mean, you can do all this. And, you know, show me the list of sports-related things that there are to do. So, tuna discus, yes. But fantasy football can still be a thing right now, and it is for me. We'll take a break first. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. This is WGR. Mike Schoep here for my friends at Outlet Liquor. Outlet Liquor proud to offer Western New Yorkers safe and convenient service every day. Take advantage of Outlet's curbside pickup. You won't even have to leave your car. Call ahead 651-9740 to place your order. It'll be ready when you arrive. Check out outletliquor.com as well. Always the best deals and offers on wine and liquor. Lowest price on wine and spirits every day. No ad to chase or club card needed. It's different than some other stores. Stop in and stock up. Gimme 3. Great savings at Outlet in the Gimme 3 section. Popular brands, Kim Crawford, Sauvignon Blanc, $12.99 a bottle when you buy three or more. Josh Cabernet, $11.99. Apothic Wines, $8.99. Barefoot, $4.99 again when you buy three or more. Also, Tito's, the 1.75 liter bottles at $29.99 when you buy three or more. Buy a case and save even more. Outlet Liquor, George Urban Boulevard near the Galleria. Outlet Liquor, what's your outlet?
Now John Brown is a quality number two. Cole Beasley is a number three. And as a trio, you've got three guys that all specialize in getting open and all do it at sort of different levels of the defense as their calling card. You know, John Brown gets open deep. Cole Beasley gets open underneath. Stephon Diggs gets open pretty much all over the field. So I think as a trio, you know, you might have receiving groups elsewhere in the NFL. I think Tampa Bay would probably have a stronger 1-2 punch. But I don't know that anybody has a better 1-2-3 than the Bills right now.
Sam Monson, PFF, on One Bills Live yesterday on WGR. We'll have more pro football focus material coming up next hour. Sal and Mike Renner are ahead, yes?
Monson, he went on to say the only question that remains is whether Josh Allen can get them the ball. And then he got 5 million tweets from Bills fans.
Yikes.
That's just how it goes, right? Like, aren't we all sort of wondering that? Like, that's what everyone's wondering. But
well, it's to me, it's
say
like,
it.
Yeah, right. To me, it's like you can't say it.
Right.
You can't say it unless if you say it, it's like, you know, everything just crashes on your head as if it's not obvious. You know.
Yeah. But it's especially bad if you have an Irish accent and you say it. I think probably
maybe. Nerd.
Right.
Watch the games. I'm sure. I'm sure all the pro football focus guys never watch games. That's one thing you should know. They never watch games.
Why would you? I mean,
people who go to Bills games and watch Bills games, and then like one or two night games a week, maybe they watch more games than the pro football focus guys. They never watch. They never watch the other teams either. I know that. So, Fantasy Friday, Joe. I think so. League of Hopes and Dreams, rookie draft in June. Still on, you know, schedule. And I think now I feel like I know what I have to do. I feel like I know what the move is in that draft. So I have the sixth pick, which was yours.
Yep.
And I don't really have a team where I need to focus on a certain position. But you've got some number of interesting rookie running backs, four or five, maybe. That you could see contributing first year, maybe more. Receivers are, it's a long list. You've got the elite guys, and then you've got a long list, and you've got Burrow and Tua and Herbert even. So there's a lot of ways you can go. Now is where I hesitate to say what my thing is.
Go. I don't pick the 13. You can go right ahead here.
Well,
I mean, there's others that could be listening that might be.
I think, you know, I'm not sure. I don't have that much experience with Dynasty to know if this is even that unusual. I think there's just a lot of different possibilities. We don't know teams yet. After the draft, this may change. When we know,
I want to record. Hey, just hold on. Let me get my iPad set up to record this so I can text it to Jeremy later.
Yes. And Richie.
Right, Richie.
Jeremy picks second.
Second and third and fourth. He picks third and fourth.
Okay.
Right. Yeah.
And he needs quarterback.
Well, then he doesn't care what you're going to do.
He has Joe Mixon and Dwayne Washington are his entire running back fleet.
Right. But his quarterback fleet is what?
He got Bridgewater.
It's Derek Carr and Bridgewater.
Bridgewater.
And Tyrod.
He's got to start. He's got to start. You think he goes quarterback? Three or four?
If I were him, I'd be thinking about it. I might try to trade down because if I can convince, like, this class, the running backs seem to be, I think you go into it and there's always all these names, but running back is very specific on landing spot. Right now, I'd probably prefer Jonathan Taylor over any of them, but if, I don't know, Cam Akers, who's like the sixth-ranked guy, he goes to Tampa instead of, you know, Taylor going to, like, the Bills, and now I've got the Tampa starter versus a guy splitting with Devin Singletary, I'm picking Akers all day. Whereas receiver, I don't know, it's very deep this year because there's so many names, but that's just, like, more of a sure thing, I think.
Yeah, like I love my spot because there might be guys who really want one of those top receivers, the two receivers, or the maybe two running backs, and I don't know. Like it'll be different after the draft. So, but for now, I wouldn't care. In a rookie draft right now, I wouldn't want to have like a top three pick.
No, me neither. I don't think so. There's like 100 receivers that you could pick. I'm sitting at 13. Like, I'm going to get one of them. Like, I might get LaVisca Chenault, who's probably going to be like maybe a early second round pick. Fine.
Take my pick three. Take my pick four. Give me two of yours, and I'll just do that's how I think the real draft should be.
Right.
Well, so same thing.
To me, it's like when there's 12 maybe really good wide receivers, and it is the same thing as the real draft. This is why I didn't want the Bills to move up and get Jerry Jeudy or whoever when people were talking about it. If there's 12 good receivers, why do I need the Sammy Watkins this thing again and force getting the top one when I could have a good one later on?
Right, Bulldog?
That's the way I'm thinking of fantasy, too.
No, 100%. Yeah, no, 100%. I was totally listening to that and not just petting Fred.
All right, you're relieved. Sal Capaccio next on WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.